Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. The city issued an alert this afternoon to residents living in downtown Juneau that avalanche conditions are elevated in the areas above Barron's Avenue and Thane Road. The alert is not an evacuation advisory, but the city advises residents in the affected areas to prepare for an evacuation if conditions continue to worsen. It comes after more than 30 inches of snow and freezing rain have fallen in the capital city during an ongoing winter storm. The city activated its new avalanche information page on Monday. Ryan O'Shaughnessy, the Emergency Programs Manager for the City and Borough of Juneau, says now is the time for residents within avalanche zones to pack a go bag and make plans to stay with friends or family in case an evacuation is necessary.
Folks need to be prepared to leave their homes at a moment's notice. You know, I think one of the key things with avalanche hazards specifically, is that things can change very rapidly and very quickly, and folks need to be prepared.
Both areas are prone to avalanches. In January 2024, an avalanche blocked Thane Road and another dusted homes in the Barron's neighborhood after more than 30 inches of snow fell during a storm. No damage was reported in either incident. Patrick Dreyer is an avalanche forecaster at the Alaska Department of Transportation. He says the department will close Thane Road this evening at 8 p.m. in case there's a large avalanche and will reassess in the morning.
It could be large enough to reach the roadway and have debris on the roadway blocking access. And so we are doing our preventative closure here tonight during a period of increased hazard for everybody's safety.
Dreyer dug a snow pit to evaluate the avalanche risk on Gastineau Ridge on Monday. He says the extended cold dry snap created weak layers in the snowpack. Then this warmer winter storm piled on heavy snow. A winter storm warning remains in effect until noon tomorrow. Forecasters say another storm might be on its way to Juneau by the end of the week. Visit juneau.gov/emergency for more information. City and state facilities remain closed again today after record-breaking snowfall in Juneau. Official snow totals from the National Weather Service confirmed that Juneau has broken its all-time snow record for the month of December with nearly 64 inches as of this morning. The previous record was set more than six decades ago. The city originally planned a delayed opening of facilities and services at noon, but then canceled late this morning. That means City Hall, public libraries, and parks and recreation facilities are all closed. Many businesses have announced closures or reduced hours. Bartlett Regional Hospital has also canceled all non-emergency services on Tuesday. Juneau's Docks and Harbors Department pleaded for boat owners to check on their vessels on Tuesday. Harbor Master Matt Cresswell says multiple boats and boat shelters have sunk under the weight of the snow.
Every boat in the harbor right now is in danger of sinking if not cared for.
Andrew Park is a meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says the storm has already delivered 30 inches of snow to Juneau and could bring 7 to 10 more. He says the snow load on roofs is a concern, especially for those in the back loop area of Mendenhall Valley, where he estimates snow could weigh somewhere around 36 pounds per square foot.
It's been a heck of a storm, and we're not out of it yet, so don't get complacent. We've got more snow on the way, and we'll see what we get out by Wednesday morning.
Park says to be careful not to block vents when clearing roofs. The winter storm warning remains in effect until noon Wednesday. Forecasters say another storm might be on its way to Juneau by the end of the week. Chief Rich Etheridge is retiring from the Capital City Fire Rescue, and his last day is tomorrow. After serving as a first responder for decades, he's now turning his focus to woodworking. KTOO's Mike Lane spoke with Etheridge about his retirement and his future plans.
We're speaking with Chief Rich Etheridge. Chief, you're retiring soon. How did you come to this decision?
I've been in my career for a little over 33 years now. This is all I've done since I was 18, whether it was wildland firefighting or a state trooper and volunteer firefighter. I actually never planned on being the fire chief, but it just, happenstance, my career went that direction. But between family and I've got a little side business at home that's been taken off, and, I think chiefs need to turn over periodically and just get fresh ideas and new ideas in the department to keep it healthy.
You have such an interesting history. You were a state trooper. How long were you a state trooper for?
Almost 5 years.
And you weren't just in Juneau, were you?
No, most of my time was on the Kenai Peninsula and then a year up in Talkeetna. It was amazing.
And then you went to CCFR or to another fire department?
Yeah, I got hired back at CCFR as the fire prevention officer. So I was responsible for going out and doing public education, fire investigations, code enforcement, and those types of things.
I see. That's so interesting. Fire investigations. So you're one of the guys who would determine how the fire started, where it started, and what was used.
Yeah. I started doing that as a volunteer. It was just fascinating to do that. how did this happen? You know, everybody sees the big black hole, but those big black holes tell a huge story. And how did the fire travel to get to where it was at?
Wow.
It was just a really unique way to look at firefighting.
So what year did you start with CCFR?
I started full-time as a volunteer. It was like late 92.
Just a few decades.
Yeah, a couple.
A couple of decades. And you worked yourself up the ranks, obviously, from that point forward. And what are some of the highlights of your career? And can you tell us anything that you're particularly proud of, something that jumps out at you?
Sure. Our response to the COVID stuff here in town, I thought was pretty amazing how our department responded to that. I mean, we stood up a whole lot really fast. I think we hired 65 people within just a couple of weeks, working with our HR department to staff the airport for COVID testing. We did the drive-through testing centers. And then we also created what's alive today as our mobile integrated health program, that people that were sick with COVID and couldn't leave and the doctors didn't want them in their waiting rooms, we would send EMTs and paramedics out to go take a medicine or, whatever they needed to keep them recovering and not spreading COVID around the community. So I think between COVID and that mobile integrated health program, getting all that stood up and put together and having it as big and lasting of a program as it's becoming.
CCFR, of course, we've reported on this. They've struggled over the years with the chronic understaffing issues and union contract negotiations. So what do you think is needed to solve those particular issues moving forward?
Man, that's a really tough question. Juneau's an isolated community. We don't have outside resources. And then we also have a budget that we have to work within. So it's just trying to find that balance between what the needs are and what we can afford as a community. Fire departments are expensive to run. And, trying to get a huge career staff is going to be extremely cost prohibitive for the city. And volunteers are having a harder and harder time volunteering because of the requirements to keep them safe. I think the staffing and the long-term retention of folks is going to be the biggest challenge over the next decade.
And what are your plans for after CCFR? What's your retirement plans?
My retirement plan is to do my woodworking shop a little bit more full-time. Right now, it's just kind of evenings and weekends and small projects here and there, but it'd be nice to kind of expand that and do a lot more with it.
What kind of woodworking?
Right now, one of the primary things I make are looms for the Tlingit weavers here in town and the robes that they make and stuff like that. So that's been one of my primary projects lately. It is so cool to be a part of that.
And how did you learn how to do this?
One of our gentlemen here in town, Kevin Miller, was making them, and he's retired and travels a lot, and he has a hard time keeping up with the demand for that stuff. So he showed me his magic of how he puts all that stuff together, and I've just kind of been running with it.
Well, congratulations again, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, sir.
That was CCFR Chief Rich Etheridge talking about his retirement and his plans for the future. And as 2025 comes to a close, the reporters at KTOO are taking a moment to reflect on the year in stories. In this special feature, we're highlighting some of our colleagues' favorite pieces throughout the year, sharing what made these stories stand out. I'm reporter Yvonne Crumery, and one of my favorite KTOO stories from 2025 is by our education reporter Jamie Deep. They produced it after tagging along on a school field trip in September that went out the road. The class was part of the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy program here in Juneau, and the story stood out because it was such a fun way to get Tlingit language to our audience through kids' voices. The story showcased how joyful revitalizing a way of life can be for young people in Juneau. Take a listen.
Students, teachers, and families walk through squishy, mossy muskeg near the Eagle River United Methodist Camp north of Juneau. Among the students is first grader Owen Royal. He's crouched over small, short bushes peppered throughout the area, putting green and yellow leaves into an empty yogurt container looped around his neck.
We're picking thick shakteen, also known as Hudson Bay tea.
Owen says picking tea has been his favorite part of the day so far. Seventh grader Cassius Allen is one of the older students picking tea with eighth grader Leighton Hebner.
Is that good? Is that good?
Yeah.
Leighton says he learned how to identify the tea from friends and teachers.
They said always make sure it's yellow at the bottom, like fully yellow or partially yellow, and it will still work.
Cassius says he thinks the tea will taste good once they process it.
Probably going to have to mix it up with some other flavors so it tastes not plain and normal.
Overall, Cassius seems to be having some fun with Layton while picking tea.
I gotta help his nose a little.
This is part of a long-standing field trip for students at Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy, a Tlingit language immersion school. It's not just for the students. They're joined by families and volunteers, as well as students from Hayukatani Kuti, a Tlingit language preschool. That's a language immersion preschool where children primarily speak in Tlingit. Things have been changing slightly after the program expanded to middle school. While it's normally a day trip, it's turned into an overnight field trip for the older students. Nakihlan Hans Chester is a biliteracy specialist at the school. He says getting students out of the classroom opens the door for a lot of learning.
To me, in this context, it's real living, and they hear us using the language with each other and communicating, or just even expressions, to say when you're doing something, and it's in context and it makes sense.
In addition to tea, students also learned to fillet salmon and make jam. Chester says the jam was going to be given to guests at a ku'ik, or potlatch, the next day.
When we do our ku'ik, it's to honor our lost clan members. And so, you know, it's really important for us to teach these skills to our kids. So when they grow up and they lose their mom or their sister or their cousin or whoever that's in their family, they'll have these skill sets to rely on so that they can do what we do.
Chester says this field trip makes him feel like the school is in a stronger place than it was before.
This field trip has really helped me see that more, just with the level of engagement from kids, hearing them use the language more, some of them stepping up and becoming leaders out here is really awesome to see.
In the camp kitchen, Tlingit language teacher Nay Tamuluk portions out bowls of fish soup. The middle schoolers filleted coho salmon for it the night before. Tamuluk says she likes getting to know the students more, both new and old.
Just seeing them in their element, being able to witness a lot of their growths and everything like that, it's been a lot of fun. They're also incredibly hilarious, so it's been entertaining.
Once they're back at school, Chester says they will process the tea and give it away to community members. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
That was a look back at a story KTOO reporter Jamie Deep did in September. Is there a KTOO story from 2025 that stuck with you? Email us at news@ktoo.org to let us know. This is KTOO. This is KTOO. For more news and weather updates, please visit ktoo.org. Thank you for listening. It's just about 420.